Hello, everybody. My name is Sherry Sellers, and welcome to Making the Change Talk. This is a podcast for anybody who's thinking about quitting, or maybe you've already started your tobacco-free journey and you're looking for extra support and information. In this episode, we're going to look at the most common symptoms of withdrawal and how you fight back with tips and, yes, even some tricks. We'll also look at relapse. But first, let me introduce our guest. Joining us today are Coach Maya from Quitline and Denise, who was smoking up to 2 packs a day. But Denise, not anymore, right?
Not anymore. That's correct. It's been 3 years.
Denise, I want to start with you and your story. When did you start smoking? How long did you smoke? Give us a little information.
I started smoking when I was about 13, 14 years old. And I smoked up until for about 20, 30 years. And then now I have been a non-smoker. And this month it's going to be 3 years.
Fantastic. Fantastic. What was the hardest part of withdrawal for you?
The hardest part is just the irritation that it brings to your life. Trying, you know, when you're withdrawing, you're thinking about cigarettes, you're irritated. Everything, you're trying to cope with different ways other than pulling out a cigarette. So that's the hardest part, is finding other ways to cope with the withdrawals without a cigarette.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk about moods, that you're just all over the place and irritable. And, you know, your friends are like, man, what is wrong with you?
Yes. And you want to, you know, to make all that go away. I'll often think, to make all this go away, this is so silly. The, you know, King Supers is 3 minutes away from my house. So why wouldn't I just take 3 minutes, drive down and get a pack of cigarettes, and take care of these mood swings and all this irritation that I'm feeling and all this anxiety that I had? It would be just easier just to run and get a pack of cigarettes. But once you get through all that, then your life is better.
Maya, like many of the coaches at Quitline, you have a history with tobacco as well, right? You smoked, and so did your father. Can you tell us about your dad's story?
Yes, my father started when he was very, very young, in his early teens, and he smoked 2 packs a day. And he consistently smoked for years, regardless of what was told by his medical providers, whatever it may be. For him, it was a very strong addiction that he actually enjoyed. And most people enjoy tobacco use because nicotine is such a powerful drug and it has such pleasurable effects. So for him, it was something he really enjoyed and never wanted to quit. And he eventually did get diagnosed with COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, in his late 30s, actually, along with diabetes. And he continued to smoke on till he turned about 47, 48 years old. And at that point, it became end-stage COPD. And he ended up deciding to quit after seeing a report that Peter Jennings from ABC News had passed away. And I know Peter Jennings had cancer, and that somehow put a light switch in my father's brain to decide to quit. And that's what it took, regardless of what any medical provider, regardless of what any of us as his family members felt, the worry we experienced from him smoking and wanting him to quit with all his hospitalizations and his health issues. He did eventually make that decision on his own. But again, after 35 plus years of smoking, it was not an easy decision for him. And he made a personal choice. It was a very personal choice for him to do. This eventually, you know, did the complications from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease did eventually end his life, unfortunately, at the age of 50. So he did pass away at a very young age. I mean, I look at myself, I'm 41 currently, and witnessing that here within a decade, you know, looking at the future, it's very scary to imagine for me to see that. Unfortunately, it took his life and it led to that complication. So, you know, he really struggled. He struggled with withdrawals, just like Denise is explaining. He just wasn't ready to, and it took that type of report on TV that made national news with, you know, Peter Jennings being an anchor and being somebody that we all saw, to pass away for my father to quit.
I'm so sorry to hear that you did lose him at such a young age. And the reason I'm asking you to share this is because I do think for most of us to hear that the coaches have an understanding that you've been there, you've had family members who've been there, it really gives us more confidence when we call, when we turn to you, that you are going to understand what we're going through, that you are going to be able to help us.
Absolutely. And you know, participants who join our program want to feel like the coaches they're speaking to can relate to what they're going through. And I myself am a former smoker. I dabbled with cigarettes for years. I've tried all different brands, especially starting in my early teens. I would hide it from my family. And my brother smoked. And he would leave his Camel cigarette packs in the drawer. And I would go and I would sneakily take one. One led to two and three. And I went from there. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I transitioned into cigar smoking, you know, specifically anything in a humidor, Monte Cristos, Fuentes, Macanudos. And that became my crutch, especially during commutes. If I was on the road driving, you know, to and from one city, it became my crutch to turn to cigars, and especially during celebratory times. It became very ritualistic. And eventually I did quit. I made the decision personally myself. It was not easy. It took 13 years for me to make that decision personally. And, you know, going back to withdrawals, it's hard because the people around you, if you're feeling, you know, short or irritable or anxious, they may just hand you a cigarette or a cigar. They may say, here, just smoke. You're really, you know, not yourself today.
Maya, let's start at the beginning. Give us the list. What are the five most common symptoms of withdrawal?
So the most common symptoms include irritability, especially in the first week. And that one specifically is very difficult for people because they don't want to feel different around people at work, people in school, if they're a student, their own family, a spouse, a partner, children, grandkids, neighbors. So, you know, really the irritability is a big factor, but even emotional spells, you know, crying. Some people in the first week really feel like they need to shed tears. And that's okay. It's very common. It's very normal. And this is what we tell our participants. So it gets that emotional for people with quitting. Anxiety heightens. Sometimes people feel a little down. Depression symptoms can occur. And other things include trouble concentrating is a common one that you'll hear, especially if people have deadlines for work assignments, reports, or, you know, maybe they drive truck. They feel like it's harder to concentrate. So that one's very difficult for people. Increase in appetite is a significant worry. You know, nobody wants to gain weight from quitting smoking or quitting any kind of tobacco. Another one that could happen is trouble sleeping or feeling tired. You know, that could lead to irritability, especially, again, if you have to get up early for work or you work an overnight shift or something. Very difficult to endure to experience trouble sleeping or feeling tired if you're a mother or a father with children. So lots of things to think about there that people endure. But the cravings is another big one. You know, people will often say, and I've been through this too, the cravings are very difficult because when, you know, like Denise had highlighted, everywhere you go, all you can think about is cigarettes.
I would love Denise to jump in here. Denise, yes. Was there anything that shocked you? A symptom that you weren't expecting, something that surprised you?
The anger. I got really angry. That was something like, I'm not an angry person. I'm a very happy, you know, person. And as angry as I got and how stupid, I was like, this is the most stupidest thing I'm doing. I felt like this is dumb. But then when I was a smoker, when I was taking adult classes, I wouldn't smoke while I'm leaving the school in the parking lot, because I didn't want anyone to know that I was a smoker at the school. You know, if I was at church, I wouldn't smoke until, and I'm driving down the street and it was dangerous because I'm trying to make sure that nobody that I know's car is by me, so they would even know I was a smoker. So it's a, you know, a double-edged sword. You know, I'm a smoker, but I didn't want people, everybody to know I was a smoker. I had my friends that I hung around that knew I was a smoker, but I didn't want everybody to know I was a smoker. So although I was a smoker, I was embarrassed of being a smoker. Then it doesn't last always. The withdrawals don't last always. And then, like the coaches would say, when you have a withdrawal and you get up and you take a 3-minute walk, by the time you get the 3-minute walk completed, the withdrawal has gone away.
Maya, let's talk about coping. You have what you call the 4 D's.
Correct. And the 4 D's is something that, you know, we tend to suggest to participants in the program. A lot of times when people call in, they want us to help brainstorm some ideas to help them get started. So the 4 D's, the first one would be delay. Delay when having a cigarette or the tobacco is significant, because there is medical research to support that urges to smoke tend to last about 10 minutes. So if you're able to delay and do something different in 10 minutes, it could help the urge to smoke to go away, to subside. So that's the first D. Another one is drinking water is a big one. Hydration can be important. If someone doesn't like water, maybe they flavor it. But drinking water is a second D that we discuss often with people to make them feel like, okay, you know what? They have something in their hand going into their mouth. It's not food. It doesn't contain calories, and it's easy to carry. And it's found in most places, right? So if you carry a water bottle or something, you can fill it up. The third one would be deep breathing. That's a very popular one as well. You know, sometimes people do enjoy like meditation type of techniques to help them get off the tobacco use. So, you know, just taking a few moments to inhale and then exhale. And, you know, sometimes people like to find like a designated spot to do it in, to take a moment to themselves. Other ones could include distancing yourself from your pack. That's another popular D. So stepping away and putting it in a designated spot that, you know, is out of sight, out of mind.
Denise, what's the one thing, if you can only give one tip today, what helped you the most get through withdrawals?
Determination. Another D. I was determined. It was determination. Yeah.
And how did you keep strong?
I knew what I had to do. It was just time. It was time. And there's no other. I lost my sister from a heart attack, and I looked back and I was like, you know, and she wasn't even a smoker, but my whole thing was, I got to start now. Although I've always worked out and exercised, I still felt like I need to start doing different things so that I can improve my lifespan. And then that became more important to me than a pack of cigarettes. I mean, and it hasn't been easy even now. It hasn't been easy, but it's so wonderful having all of these firsts in my life. Like I flew without being a smoker for the first time. You know, when you're a smoker, you get off the airplane, you're going to get out and go outside and you're going to smoke a cigarette. You know, I went on vacation as a, you know, being a non-smoker. So it's, you have all these wonderful things to celebrate after you give it up. And I'm sure I'll have even more. You know, I went out of the country, went to Jamaica. I was like, oh, this is the first time I was out of the country as a non-smoker. So you have all these things that you can celebrate, which is a lot more exciting and important to do than to celebrate a cigarette. You know, you can decrease your life. You can decrease it. Like, so you have to start putting you first. When you put you first and say what you really want, you know, but what Maya said, I enjoyed smoking. I liked it. I liked it a lot. No, it, you know, but the rewards are so much better.
So ladies, we're almost out of time, but I do think it's important that we bring up the reality that you should be prepared for relapse or for slipping, that it happens to just about everybody, right? So yeah. Maya, how do we encourage? We've given all this great information, but let people know this could happen. And if it does, that's okay.
Correct. And part of that is forgiving yourself for slipping up or relapsing. And I want to differentiate the meaning of the two. So this is really important because a lot of times people think if they had a cigarette, you know, they bummed one from a relative, for example, that's it. They're doomed. They're not going to be able to recover from that. And that's not true. And part of that is recognizing that you need to forgive yourself and not give up. Give yourself permission to try again. And that is actually basically what that means is you're not returning to regular use. That's the difference between relapse and slip up. You slipped up. You had one moment of lapse where you ended up being tempted and you had that cigarette. Relapse is returning to regular use, whereas slip up is you briefly went back and stopped smoking again. So something to think about there is it happens to all of us. It happened to me. I remember the first slip up I had was in Las Vegas. Now I live in Denver and I was at a team meeting in Las Vegas, and Vegas is surrounded by tobacco because it's pretty acceptable in casinos and everywhere in the city. And there it's allowed there. So it was very easy to just, you know, walk up to a gift shop and they're selling tobacco products and decide to smoke one. And that's actually what got me back into slipping up for the first time in years after I personally quit. So recognizing that it happens to most people and forgiving yourself and moving on is a big part of that. Because unfortunately, a lot of people start feeling discouraged. They'll tell you, well, I've quit many times, but staying quit is where I struggle. And, you know, part of that is making sure you have the correct support. And that's where I believe our program can come into play. Because when we speak to participants in our program, we provide them with the reassurance and reinforce the positivity that they can continue, that it's okay that they had a slip up, that they're not alone, and there's still that light at the end of the tunnel that they can accomplish and reach if they want to get there.
Denise, what do you say to that person who maybe just recently had that slip and they're beating themselves up? Give us that final thought. Give us that final encouragement.
Well, try it again. It's nothing, you know, you have to just continue to try. And then you have to realize what's more important. You have to find the importance of being a non-smoker. You have to remember that, yes, I quit. And I still think sometimes like, oh, if I go get a pack of cigarettes, I can just quit again. But then you have to find what's more important. You can have a slip up. This time I did not have any slip ups, but in the past I had slip ups. I had quit smoking for 30 days. And then I didn't even give myself a chance. I was going out and I went and bought a pack of cigarettes because I was like, I'm going to drink. So I didn't even give myself a chance. So once you give yourself a chance to actually try to say, I'm going to quit, give yourself a chance and you'll find out that you're stronger than you even thought you were. You come too far. If you quit for a week, you're a week closer to no more withdrawals. If you quit for 2 weeks, you're 2 weeks closer to the withdrawals being gone altogether. And then 3 weeks of a non-smoker, you're 3 weeks in. So your withdrawals are almost going to be not in void anymore. So it's just so I'm awesome to quit smoking.
Denise, I can hear the pride in your voice. That's just fantastic. I know Maya's over there going, yes, yes. And we know that the quit line helped on your journey as well. So we're equally proud of that. We are out of time, Denise and Maya. So sadly, I have to say goodbye and thank you so much for joining us. And to those who are listening in, I want to say thank you to you too. We hope that you'll listen to our next conversation on Making the Change Talk. Most importantly, remember that the quit line is here for you 24/7. When you're ready to make the change, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW or click on the Enroll Now link on the podcast homepage. Thank you to everybody.